Right now I have you, here, well, your video, it says we're in dark mode, I don't know why it's doing that. What I'm gonna do, can you hear me? Okay, I can't hear you yet, but the thing is because you're hooked up to the TV. So I'm just gonna keep you in listening mode until you get to present, and then I'm gonna try to put you on the big TV and get everything working that way, okay? Alright, thank you.
It is 6 o'clock. We will start our meeting. Seeing six out of the seven school board members present. This meeting, or this September 22nd, 2025 meeting, including the Board of Education and all our meetings of the board, is open to the public in compliance with state statute. Notice that the meeting has been sent to the media and has been publicly posted in an attempt to make the citizens of the district aware of the time, place, and agenda of this meeting. Upon request to the district administrator, submitted 24 hours in advance, the district shall make reasonable accommodations, including the provision of informational material in an alternative format for a disabled person to attend this meeting. I would take a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Strawman, second by Motor. Did you want to move G2?
So I would just leave it as is, and
okay.
I think we'll be fine. Yep, I hands off.
Okay. All right. Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. On to our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible.
Approval of two different meetings. We have a regular meeting September 8th and a special meeting on September 16th.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion by Strawman, second by Motor. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. On to our public comments. We've got a couple of them here. This is the order they were submitted. First, we have Lori Volrat talking about the outdoor classroom.
Sorry, I thought you had a thing to read. There's a statement on there that you don't read.
What's that?
There's a statement on the thing that you don't want to read.
Oh.
Professor, you know. I'm Lori Volrat. I'm the elementary school PCO president. 2 weeks ago, I was here and I spoke about the PTO project at the elementary school, which was an outdoor classroom. The PTO donated $15,000 to this project. I spoke about the disappointment that the construction committee's unwillingness to help fund that project, even though there was referendum money available. Since that meeting, we have received an anonymous donation to finish the building of that outdoor classroom. We are beyond grateful for that donation, and I would like to personally thank the person or persons responsible for that amazing donation towards elementary education. We have also received a $200 donation from Seagrave, as well as several small donations from community members. We will continue to fundraise to purchase seating for the outdoor classroom because we have just the building. We have just the funding for the building. But what an amazingly generous community that we live in. Thank you.
On to Paul Olmstead regarding changing conferences.
Hello, my name is Paul Olmstead. I'm a parent for the junior who participates in sports year round. I was disappointed to see that changing conferences is on the agenda. I feel we already have a test case for this when we move conferences for football. We can see that the team is still struggling. We have a culture problem with our school. I played football with a couple of board members when we were in school. We were always little fish in a big pond and thought that was unfair. Now you want us to be the big fish in a little pond and do the same thing with small schools. This doesn't teach our kids to work harder, it lowers the bar for them. Sports is supposed to teach us that if you want to win, you have to put the time in and earn it. It teaches accountability, consistency, and how to do things as a team, all things that will serve them well when they become adults. Right now, our kids are not showing up. Talk to your coaches. Ask them what the weight room attendance looks like for the open gym participation. Until that changes, it doesn't matter what conference we are in. The coaches that I do know are doing a great job trying to establish the right culture, but they need your support. When parents come to you complaining about sports, ask if their son or daughter have participated in the weight room program or been to open gym sessions. To change the culture, you need to stand behind your coaches when difficult decisions come up. Everyone from top to bottom needs to be on the same page or we will continue to struggle. Thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you. Up next, Marie Vandenberg.
Apparently, I've been in school a little bit more often than I used to. So, a couple of things have come up since the last meeting. First off, this is the second meeting in a row that I have been locked out, that there's no access, and I can see somebody sitting physically at the desk at the office, and today, I had no way of being able to let her know that I was standing outside trying to get in. Before, I ended up getting caught in the vestibule between the two doors, because somebody was nice enough to open the outside door, and I couldn't get in. The other aspect of things that needs to be addressed is the crosswalk safety. The amount of kids that are trying to cross between elementary and here and there. We have a beautiful crosswalk light, and nobody's pushing them up. We've got other people that, we've got adults that are like, oh, well, we're just going to help you cross. You don't have to pay attention to the crossing guard. We really need everybody to be on the same page. I know at the work session, Troy happened to mention that there are times where our liaison officer probably could be doing other stuff to earn what we're paying him, which would be awesome because those, and I know our police department is also working on community engagement. This would be one of those awesome times where, okay, we're going to practice crosswalk safety. But obviously, we can't always trust the parents because parents have developed bad habits. So this would be one of those opportunities of working together. Thank you.
Thank you. Last but not least, Steve. Sorry about that. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Hello, my name is Kristen Murphy, and I've been a proud to call Sentinel my home my entire life. I'm a graduate of our public schools, a lifelong community member, and now the mother of a 3.5-year-old daughter, who has been attending Delta daycare since she was just 6 weeks old. As many parents here know, finding childcare in a rural community can be incredibly difficult. When I was 7 weeks pregnant, I became the overwhelming process of working for daycare. I called every local option and placed my name on several wait lists, only to hear back that infant care was either unavailable or spaces were full. And that's if I heard back at all. Bella was the first to respond, providing me with a tour, answering my questions, and easing my worries as a new mom. Over the last 3 years, Bella has proven to be more than just childcare. It's an educational environment that has a high standard for early learning. Bella is a 4-star Young Star facility, which means it goes above and beyond staff training, curriculum, family engagement, and child development. They follow structured routines, provide parent-teacher conferences, and help children reach developmental milestones. This is not easy. It's a high quality for education, and my daughter has thrived because of it. But that one is also a lifetime for our community and our school district. Nearly 90 children are supported through the school time, part-time, before and after school care. This allows working parents, including many of our district teachers, to stay in the workforce. Delaware strengthens our school by supporting open enrollment, which generates vital funding for the district each year, and it provides stable, meaningful employment for staff, all of which offer
offering wages and benefits that we find important for the work they do. I know the board makes hard financial decisions, and I respect the weight of those choices. In a small online hour, we may not all use all the same programs, but we all know somebody who depends on them. Supporting Delaware means supporting our neighbors, our educators, our families, and our entire community. Let's be proactive, not reactive. Let's work together and keep Delaware strong so we can continue to serve Fentanyl for years to come. Thank you for your time and your commitment to our kids.
Thank you. All right, and that's all the blue sheets that I had. On to our financial report and presentation of vouchers.
I'm going to recommend that you approve the vouchers as attached for the month of August. Any questions, Jessica, is to your plan?
Motion by Spellman, second by Wood. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right.
On to the monthly budget.
Yes, so first two, just to preface, she is doing the monthly budget for August. Then she's going to switch to the end of last year and give you the end of the year financials. So right now we're talking about August.
In your packet, you guys received the monthly budget recap for August. As you can see, we did not receive much revenue in August. As you saw when I handed out that, I believe it was in August, I handed out that calendar of when we receive our aid payments and all of that. We will see next month. This month, we actually, in September, received an aid payment, so you'll see that when I recap next month. As I explained before, those are slowly going to be coming in. Like our revenue. So we only have 4% of income to use right now. For Fund 10, and then you can see in the bottom half of that first sheet that we have the big one would be our insurance that we have from the business office for the whole district. So as you can see, that is at 97.5% expended. Salaries and benefits is also the other big one that we talk about every month. On the second page, you can see on the top is Fund 27. We have $18,000 in expenditures there. Again, mostly salary and benefits.
Can I add something to Fund 27?
Sure.
So things that you're probably going to see in Fund 27 as we move forward is eventually adding a second bus for transportation for Fund 27, adding additional staff for Fund 27, and then the unexpected cost of out-of-district services for Fund 27. So just a forewarning, with the amount of students that moved into the district this year, we're looking for internal services and external services to meet their needs. So expect that one to probably be a little higher than normal.
In the middle of the page is Fund 39. That's just our debt service. Obviously, you'll just see the interest income from there. We make the payment twice a month, which is in September and March. So next month when I recap, you'll see that payments on there. The bottom is Fund 49, which is that referendum account. Most of that has been spoken for. It's just we're waiting to pay the bill that we have those projects finished up. On the third page on the top is Fund 50, that's food service. And we have about $43,000 in expenditures. That was salary and benefits, purchase services and supplies, and then those three came in. Fund 80 on the bottom there is the community service, daycare, rec, middle school sports. There's $59,000 that we received in revenue, and then there's $22,000. Any questions? moving on to that. This is, I apologize, this is not in your packet, but this is the year-end recap. It is going to be in the same format as the monthly budget recap that you received, but it has the budget, the final budget that you guys approved on the left. The second column is the monthly activity from June, and then the third column is the year-to-date. So that is all of our metrics that we received for 24-25. We received 3.85% above what we had budgeted for our revenue, so we were over by almost $684,000 is what we were over with our revenue. So that was great news that we received. Then for expenses, we actually only spent 97.22% of what we had budgeted. So we actually had $563,000 under what we had budgeted for expenses. So with that, we have $1.172 million that we were between the revenues and the expenses that we were able to add to our money balance. So that's great news. As we go through this year, we are going to continue to buckle down on the budget as we have been doing. Last year was the first year of the zero-based budgeting. We have a better understanding of some of the revenues that came in that weren't budgeted correctly in previous years, so we're just going to take a look at those. And as I'm working on the final budget to present in October, you guys will see those adjustments in those numbers. And then as we go through the expenses too, we're going to kind of take a look at them and see like which ones can be adjusted down, because a good one for the example is the utilities, and we spent 68.7% of what we had budgeted. So as we go through the budget, we'll go back through and take a look at those and then just adjust the numbers and the numbers as needed. Being first out last year's the first year without the elementary. So just adjustments like that we'll go through and see. And those adjustments too, and then kind of see where else in the expenses were items not purchased or spent that we had budgeted for originally in the zero-based budget, and we go from there.
The two key things that you and I discussed though is we did not transfer any money to our Fund 73 or our retirement, nor did we put any money in Fund 46.
Correct.
Is that correct? Yes. That we should probably look at doing that in the future.
Yep. Fund 27, another big thing we were able to add more to our balance is because of the transfer to Fund 27 and how the payment was made. It was almost $78,000 less than what we thought we were going to have to transfer, but because we were able to use more budget and specialize than we expected to do. And then we also were able to keep a better handle on expenses and not spend all of the 3.1 that we were in. So we only spent 2.98. Sunday night, obviously, as you guys know, we made the debt defeasance. As you'll see, it always is going to look like a loss in Fund 39, just because of the way that it works is we tax for this calendar year. But when we budget for our fiscal year, so there's always going to be that lapse of where we have to make that adjustment of what we're actually paying and what we're actually levying for. Fund 49. Is the referendum one. As I said, we had some projects that we were finishing up, so they did not get out for that 24-25 for us. Our goal is that we want to try to expend all of this last year. We have to spend them all by January, so we were trying to get this off of them. Fund 50 is food service. Great news, we did not have to transfer into Fund 50, which is the goal of every year. We actually were able to increase our fund balance by $57,000. And that is because our expenditures were down $102,000 and our revenue was, we did not quite receive all the revenue that we thought that we would receive. We will only receive 90% of that $800,000, so we went up the $900,000 that we had budgeted, but we still were able to add to our fund balance.
That money roll over to the next year?
Fund 50 is like its own entity.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the bottom is Fund 80. We received 43.84% more than budgeted for revenues. Obviously, daycare, we received $164,000 more than budgeted between tuition and the grants that they get. And the gift that we were with that.
Department of Workforce Development.
Yeah. That's it. That's the thing that they get. And then the rest there was $40,000 over what was budgeted. And then, yeah, so that's where that extra money came from. So we will revisit those again, and I will work with Troy and the department heads of those groups to see like what we probably try to help to try to get a better, get those numbers closer to what our actual budget should be. And then the same thing for expenses, we were actually only at 91.49%, so we didn't have as much as we had budgeted for. So we expected a 1.6 million deficit in fund 80s, and we only spent 1.2 million. So again, we did not for fund 80 this past year because we have enough in our fund balance to cover that. So we will take a look at how that all plays out again for this year. The big reason for fund 80 that our revenue goes up to is also because this is also the same for fund 10. We invested a lot of the money that was extra from the fund balances, so the money that we made on interest was way higher than anticipated than what we had budgeted. So that's the reason for the money, so that's a big chunk of why fund 10 had a lot of expense.
Have you done that prior to the team next year? Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm guessing I'm possibly to some extent, but I know we did create a couple of investment accounts this past year, so I don't know how it works.
So the reason why I asked that question is I used to send out the email that says temporary freeze on buying supplies from September to December till we get that big check in into December, early January. And this year we're investing some of our money to gain interest and create even more revenue. So that's a positive. I am going to put you on the spot. You can yell at me, smile. Do you know what our new fund balance amount and percentage is?
I don't know.
Okay. Can you give those to me so I can email it more? Because there's no one to know that.
I do need
those
numbers for when we had our last meeting, workshop,
okay.
I believe those numbers were all included in that, but those fund balance numbers that were presented there included that information that I can do what they told them.
On the fund 10 where the library, why is it 0% on the far right of the Pacific pool, or is that just because it's a different?
Oh,
Tony will
have that cleared up. I apologize. So the way that the library works is we use funds to fund, and those can only be used a very specific way, usually in the library. So our expenditures were up $28,000 because we actually ended up using more than we used. That number we don't get until later in the year after budget finalized. So they ended up coming back and getting like a higher amount than what we had anticipated. So, we got another almost $31,000 in revenue, so that's why those expenses were so much over budget.
It's 127%.
Thank you.
So, Fund 50, where Trevor had that program over the summer, mm-hmm. Had that already been atoned for that came to us for that summer?
Probably not in these numbers, just because the reimbursements we have not received the reimbursements yet. The expenditures are in there because we're done with summer school, so we would have already been funded out.
So Fund 50 is better once that comes through?
So the way that summer school works is some of it, a little bit of it's in June, but July and August is really where your numbers will be, so I apologize. It was the monthly budget recap that you'll see those expenses, and not here. That was the monthly one that I saw those numbers. And I do know, actually, Patsy came to me today and had asked about the numbers, so we did receive the first re- reimbursement. I believe it's the first reimbursement from summer school today. That should be on next month's feedback. But I believe he's going to be presenting more information on that tonight, so you can take it in.
Moving on to the special meeting updates. Since you took the notes.
I don't got my notes to highlight from.
Good foundation moving forward. At least I thought. Anybody else want to?
I'll see you again.
I would like to add that I think Nick did a really good job of separating community fund. Fund 80 is all local taxes. The local community has to pay for everything in there. And that's why at the end of that meeting, you kind of give me the homework to meet with the people affected on that and come up with some ideas, not necessarily to increase revenue, because that's simple, raise prices, right? Is there any ways to decrease expenditures? You know, that's kind of the directive you gave me. And then when it came to, you know, the Fund 10, I would say the big takeaway is mill rate thought process versus taxes, tax impact. And Nick reiterated multiple times that if housing keeps going up 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, that means the district keeps getting all of that revenue from housing. So if our expenses are not going up 10%, 10%, 10%, where do we find that equilibrium where we're going to get more money because housing costs or the money we collect from housing is going up? Do we adjust our mill rate possibly down to keep taxes the level? So just the thought process of looking at how you collect money from the taxpayers, the school tax, total taxes, or mill rates. I think Nick did a good job of that as well. And then needs. You know, what are the needs versus wants of the district in the next 5 to 10 years? And how can we maximize state aid in order to accomplish those needs and not put the burden on the local taxpayers, if possible?
This one, I think these were the big points for me. Number five, we set short-term goal, next one that month, for the operational team to provide ideas for cost reduction, not revenue growth. I don't know what you do. An example was moving middle school sports from Fund 80 to Fund 10. Additionally, the operational team will provide additional information as requested in front of the firm and understanding. Setting the long-term goal in the next 5 years to reduce Fund 80 net operating loss tax reliance from 74% to, we didn't really set the final goal with that, but again, a good discussion. Set a deadline of December 31st to determine mid-goals by, didn't get to that part yet, but overachieving and doing this sooner is absolutely great, but that was the deadline that was a good one. Those were some of the major milestones for us to look at that short, mid, and long-term planning, so hopefully we can be better prepared for things that they come up. Anybody else have any other questions, comments? Mark? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the committee updates. Ben is not here. I don't think they had a land use committee meeting, so they're not here.
I have a box.
Okay.
I did get the schematics back from Hoffman and Rutler for the next land use committee So they laid it out very well with scaling back the Taj Mahal to option one, and then 2, 3, and 4 could be any combination of if we would choose to do that and or put it on a survey of some type. So I got that back to you.
Okay. We don't have a land use meeting scheduled yet.
That is in Ireland, I believe. So him and I debriefed to send out something for the committee for next week to meet. We
okay.
need to meet, yes.
Okay. So it's good. Policy committee.
Policy committee met today at 5:15, and we visited two policies. One had to do with financing, policy number 6320. Had to do with RFPs. It is the recommendation from our committee that we keep the RFP at $50,000, which is a must level. However, any services over $30,000, then the superintendent will issue an RFP after 5 years of $30,000. So that's our recommendation of the change of that policy. So we'll probably see that at another board meeting. And the other policy we looked at was the promotion retention policy. And at this point, a couple of good questions came up, and we didn't have the answers for it. But we got 10 months, so we'll be seeing that in a future meeting.
The big word is reclassification. What are parental rights versus school rights when it comes to a parent's request to reclassify their child?
And the October 13th meeting at 9 o'clock is going to be devoted specifically for NEOLA updates and NEOLA new policy. This will be tabled for a while.
Questions, comments?
I think it was just one of the items that came up in policy that, yes, anything over $50,000 must go out. But an RFP could be generated on behalf of the superintendent as well as the director.
Which is in there now. So
just so that the
nothing else. Construction committee.
Little updates since we met the last time in the world. As you heard, there was a donation, so and as we were doing, we said last time we were going to move forward with scheduling for the well open question to begin.
Cool.
The garage door is running, the grass is planted. And you finished the access to the rear of the buildings. I thought I saw Stephen here. Anything else?
Yep. All right, Delwood.
There was not a formal committee meeting, however, I've had some community members reach out, and they're talking about scheduling before trick-or-treating on November 1st, a trunk or treat at the Delwood Early Learning Center. So if you got a car and some candy, come on over. there is some talk about creating an auxiliary, kind of like a booster club, specifically for the day trip. So we have some community members that are very active and very passionate about the day trip. So.
Awesome. Thank you. Rec Center?
I have not met, nothing to report.
Finance committee.
Plan to meet on the third planning meeting on the 6th.
All right. Moving on to the administrative reports.
Alexis Rutzloff is here. She's the director of pupil services and student services. So she will present the annual seclusion and restraint report.
Physical restraint by school staff, except in very limited circumstances, where students
special education update, how things are going to begin the year.
Yes, I, so we've had a lot of new wonderful families move into our district area. With that, we've had quite a few students with some really neat needs entering our district. So that has brought a lot of wonderful opportunities for our team. It's also allowed us to grow our team to make sure that we're meeting student needs. So we are having a lot of conversations about student needs and making sure that we're staffed appropriately, that our teachers are doing as well. And we've had some challenges, and there's definitely been some hiccups. But our team is doing a wonderful job, and we've been pushing at all levels, all hands on deck right now. All of the structures and the supports in place to make sure that we're meeting our students' needs. So that's one of the exciting things and challenges us going on in the special education world.
And it's a double-edged sword that we are extremely excited that families are moving into the Clintonville School District because they know that we offer great services for students. But then on the other hand, when we weren't prepared for it, we have to provide these services, you know, so we'll get there.
It's been a challenge.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have, I'd like to argue, the best special education team around. So everybody's doing amazing work and putting in lots of hours to make sure that we're doing the best special education. Okay.
On to the growing on to the congregate summer meal program.
Not like your Rotary presentation.
You didn't give me time on that.
Seven minutes max. All right. Five would be better.
I'll just talk about the real non-congregate, come back later in the year, and talk about the cool things we're launching to hopefully reach that 100% of our revenue mark, which Jessica gave you in the recap. We didn't quite hit that, but this is about the real non-congregate. I kind of got that spreadsheet in your board packet. It kind of just lays out the number of meals we put out. You can see June through July on the left-hand column. That's what the district's normal summers look like for 10 years. We came in, and I just got to give a shout-out to, we had some awesome staff, Keener Ritt, Denise Gunderson, Rosalind Schroeder, Janice Enstrom, and Paula Spearman, and Terry Schmackner. They really made this possible. Be a new director in a totally new field of food service. I mean, it's a big programs only happen because you have awesome dedicated staff. And then picking up this school year with Melissa Schreckner, Shelley, and Linda, because their awesomeness, I'm kind of getting caught up on the things that we normally do as food service directors during the summer that was replaced with just this big program. But what the program looks like is on the right hand side, you can see we put out thousands of meals to the public. The first week was pretty rocky. We came in on Monday and we lost both freezers. If I were to do that summer again, I probably would have canceled the program, but we wanted to bring the community of Clintonville resources that are advocated. So we got it done. It's a little sloppy, but not much you can do with two freezers going out on there. The financial breakout looks, and I was able to have a meeting with Jessica, and she didn't tell me it was totally inaccurate, so. You can see the financial and the revenue. It's going to be pretty accurate to what Jessica will report next month. The one thing I wanted to say about the expenses, it's not like cut and dry. We bought food for that program in the summer that happened in the beginning of the school year and vice versa, so things are kind of fluid there. Other than that, a lot of appreciative parents. I got to meet a lot of the community members personally, working the program every Monday. Might tweak it this upcoming year, offer maybe some weekend pickups on top of, or a pickup for the weekend while summer school is going. That's an allowable way to get meals out to the family, too. That's
Well, if nobody else is going to say anything, thank you. Everything I hear about you, the program, it's just leaps and bounds going the right direction. So keep it up. Even my kids, big athletes, they're eating more school lunches because there's healthy options there. That hasn't been really a thing for them for a while. So at least my household, we're noticing. So thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
It's excellent to hear.
All right, on to my report. Jessica, Nick, and Aaron, surprisingly, we got a bunch of insurance brokers. We narrowed it down to three. We're going to end up doing interviews. I did attend the Carl Brugging showing. Wonderful person. We had a brief discussion regarding AI with the administrators. And then I know that last year the admin team presented a needs versus wants list when it comes to personnel, and we revisited that at our last admin meeting, and we came up with this list if we are going to look at increasing personnel in any ways. This is kind of what we had said. And then we have some FMLAs coming up, so we're trying to be very creative with long-term substitutes while we're already working on staff for building up the position. So we have a meeting tomorrow regarding long-term substitutes. And then the rest is on here as you guys requested from all of the admin and directors. So that you guys can read. Then for hires, we have Sassy and Julia for special education paraprofessionals. And then we have an extracurricular resignation, Kristen Reslov as girls basketball coach, and Caleb is already on the process of finding that replacement. So. Recognitions, first one is the big one. I had somebody in my office last week that demanded that they meet with me. And we sat down at the table, and they said how much money is needed to finish that outdoor classroom. And I said, well, we're about $15,000 short. That person got out their checkbook and wrote a check for $15,000. I wanted to make sure it wasn't out of emotion, that they were, know exactly what they were doing. And he handed me the check, and he gave them the receipt, and they were very grateful, and they want to remain anonymous. Tech Ed program donation. This is always great when we get lumber and other materials donated. So shout out again to Tigerton Lumber Company for donating a bunch of looks like hardwood there to our Tech Ed program. Skills USA. So that is mostly for our welding manufacturing program. So we got a bunch of stuff there, and we built them garden benches that they could sell. So $1,030 from Farm Technology Days. And then girls soccer program, we got another donation of $2,000 for that girls soccer program. So the community wants girls soccer. We've got a lot of donations for girls soccer. On to personnel. So normally this time of year, we do our first round of teacher overloads. So admin team came together, and art has an overload. Phi-ed teachers have an overload. Normally one of the manufacturing teachers have an overload. And then our CrossCat ID specialists would have overload, and then as well as a middle school teacher overload to fill or help support the specialist rotation for middle school. So they're listed as needed, and then we would get them in the payroll as soon as you approve them.
Okay, I would take a motion for the teacher overloads.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Zacco, second by Motor. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, the first one on other, I know this sounds like a really fancy saying, intergovernmental cooperative agreement. Long story short, same as last year,
We have students from the Gresham School District coming to Clintonville to attend some of our special education services. So in that case, the revenue that they collect for those students gets transferred over to Clintonville because we are supporting them for part of the day. So that's why it's this legal document. You guys had it last year, same thing. Big part of this in red, how much are they paying us to service their students? The other question is, do we have room at this time? Yes, we felt we still had room. That's why we're bringing this to the board.
Motion by Vice Cameron, second by Moore. Further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
All right, request to consider athletic conference realignment. Can I speak open and then you can choose if there's a motion or not? So this has been going on since Sean has been here. It's been brought to the attention by some parents, some coaches. I'll be the first to say that the majority of the varsity coaches are against this. Okay, Sean did have a vote. So again, the majority are against moving to another conference. I did talk to Caleb, I talked to Sean, I've been talking to superintendents of both of the conferences. And I feel strongly that this needs to be on an agenda because if we are going to consider this, we need to make a decision now, otherwise we have to wait 2 years. Okay? So the reason why I feel it could be considered is for two reasons. One is distance of travel. Okay? It really shrinks down how far we're traveling on our away games. And the other one, I know it's been brought up, culture, weight room, those types of things. I fully agree with everything that's been said. Okay, I've been there. I'm here during the summer. I'm in the weight room nearly every night in the rec center, not in the high school weight room. I totally understand that. It's a culture thing. Here's the however and the but. When it comes to social economics, we have very different social economics to the Denmarks, the Freedoms, the Little Chutes, the Luxembourg, Cascos. Our students, mine included, work. Okay, if they want to go to post-secondary school, if they want to do X, Y, and Z, they're choosing, I'm not saying it's the right choice, they're choosing to go to work instead of go to the weight room. They're choosing to go to work instead of participating in summer camps. Okay? So if you look at the CWC conference, the social economics of those schools are very similar to ours. Now, is that an excuse? You can look at it different ways. Is it a culture? It definitely is a culture. I'll tell you, if we would move forward to this, we're not going to the CWC and whooping butt of anybody. Because right now, the CWC is pretty darn strong. Really strong. So if we don't fix our culture internally, it doesn't matter what conference we're in when you look at wins and losses. So again, to reiterate, why is it on the agenda? Because we can consider it. It doesn't mean that the NEC releases us. It doesn't mean the CWC accepts us. If we do nothing, it's null and void. We don't have this conversation for another 2 years.
What's our enrollment?
Our enrollment for the high school? What is it?
392, I believe, is up to that going up.
So we're the lowest enrollment in the world under the NEC.
Yeah.
I like the idea that it's going to cut the distance that these kids have to be on the bus to go to sports. It'll cut the costs. It'll cut time for them. They won't be up till midnight and have to perform at school the next day. So I think it was before your time. I believe you were in the CWC at one time.
We're in the Bay, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the Bay.
In the Bay, okay.
Yeah, we were never in the CWC.
Okay. And they moved us because our numbers were high. and thought we would be comfortable with that. I like the idea that they don't have to be traveling as much.
I know you stated you talked to him, but we've got a new athletic director that this directly impacts. Is there any thoughts that could be shared from that? One way or the other?
I get it from both standpoints, travel-wise stuff, but I also want to have my coaches back at the same point. Again, I know it's a culture problem, but it's also having a lot of fun for us, so I'm pretty torn. I mean, either way.
And to reiterate, it has nothing to do with the quality of our coaches. I want to make that very clear. I've said that to them in many meetings. If it wasn't for the coaches that we have, where they know when to, you know, put a little fire, gas on the fire, when to be your cheerleader, you know, when to celebrate, when to cry with the kids, we have those coaches, okay? It's not that. It's the commitment from the athletes to their sports where we're lacking. So I want to be very clear on that.
What's the deadline for this application?
October 1st.
Did I remember you saying there was like a once bitten, twice shy type thing? Did you look to change conferences and then back out?
So yeah, that was roughly 8, 9, 10 years ago, yeah. They went through the whole process, they got right to the end, we're about to vote, and then it was like, nah, we'll stay in the NEC. That was before my time. But that was brought up to me in our superintendent's meeting.
I guess my concern is if we have coaches that really don't want this, and we've tried it before, I would like to see more unity before we commit to doing something like this again. And not that, you know, a few people complaining. You're never going to please everybody all the time, but if we've already kind of gone down this path, and I don't know a lot about the history, I'm just looking at it from right now. We're not bringing everybody together. We got enough other stuff going on to create more of this drama. And I'm not disagreeing with you, Chris. My kids are on the bus and they get home 11, 12 at night, and then they're back up for early swim practice. It's not good there either, so I'm not saying there's one definite winner versus bad situation, but I'd like to see more togetherness before we make it certain.
Well, looking at it as a whole, you know, the other benefits that I see is the travel aspect. It's like that, but it's not anybody out there that thinks we're going to walk over there and go and state titles because of it. That's not a reaction. Yeah, I've been a member of the world, but I'm still pretty sure that he's okay.
Any discussions on parents making that move because of the travel? Is there any potential increase in participation, or don't you think that's going to be a non-factor?
I don't think that's a factor. I really don't.
So what do you think is the cause of this lacking to support their sport?
That's a loaded question. I think a little bit has to do with work. The other thing is I truly feel is you don't have that nucleus of students where you're that elementary kid and goes, gosh, I want to be that guy someday. Or you don't have, you know, most of these are team sports, they're not individual. You don't have that group of 6, 7 gals or guys that are like, hey, we're going to stick together, we're going to be in the weight room every morning. And when we're freshmen, those sophomores and juniors better watch out because we're coming for their job or for their positions. We don't have that. So I don't know how we instill it. I think it's still the varsity coaches working with the youth and growing that culture.
probably add one sport supporting the next sport as well. I've seen it both ways where certain sports don't even know there's other sports, and vice versa, when they do have friends on other sports, and that maybe part of the football team shows up to a baseball game or whatever. I think that just builds everybody together. But I don't know how you promote that more without almost requiring volunteer hours or something to kind of spark that happening.
And AAU and clubs, this is Troy's opinion, to be very clear. AAU and clubs are killing the multi-sport athletes. And you've got to play club if you're going to play varsity next year. I'm not that guy. Anybody wants to have that conversation, we can have that on the sidewalk after the meeting.
But I guess to my point then, that's even more important to have that camaraderie between the sports, because that might be their only sport that they play.
Correct.
And if nobody's showing up, it's kind of hard to be motivated when you don't have your friends pushing you along.
And at the end of the day, this could not happen, right? Well, I mean, there's a realistic chance that...
Yeah, if you guys don't want to go forward with this, it's dead for another 2 years if we even want to talk about it. I just say, if we're going to do it, now's the opportunity. If we don't want to do it, and I totally see both sides. Caleb and I have talked. I've talked to the majority of the coaches individually. Everybody has the great reasons of why they want to or not want to.
So if we did go through it, then both congresses would have to agree to it.
Yep.
And then we still have a vote, which is what a to would probably never allow us to do it again.
No. They actually changed the process. It's called the Clintonville rule within the norm. It's if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. If we're not, let's not even start the process. So that's why they went to, you have to ask the other conference if they're willing to give us up. Then when they say yes, then you have to ask the other conference. If we were dead set on this and let's say, yes, we're unanimous, and the NEC says, no, we're not letting you go, then we petition the WIA and they make the decision. We're not in that boat right here.
But it'll still come down to number of schools and how does that work out. And
yep.
If we were to do this in 2 years, if we wanted to, we'd be further off maybe having a neighboring school district with the same idea to jointly go after it.
It could happen. Right now the only odds that are in our favor is Fox Valley Lutheran dropped out of the NEC, so it's an odd number right now. That's the only thing that's in our favor of the NEC saying yes. But there's the CWC, there's talks within the CWC to do this big realignment and move this school to the small and this and that. Caleb knows more about this than I do. But that's where the cards would have to shuffle and things would have to align for them to even say yes.
So two questions. Majority of the coaches on this list want to stay where we're at?
Correct.
Why is football not included?
Because football is the opposite year because there's so many schools and so many divisions. So football is 1 year. All of the other sports are the opposite year.
So would that be for football right now?
Correct.
Motion by Motor, seconded by Marco.
No, you don't need to look at the picture.
No, it's not.
Make sure Clint writes more stuff down for the meeting minutes. All right, no action taken. You're up, Drew.
Still on motion. All right, legal services proposal. believe everybody either physically got the RFPs or at least an email, correct? Yes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to look through them. I wasn't trying to say this is how we're going to do it, but we got to do something. So tonight I'd like to pick, and up to you guys how you want to do that, the three that we're going to interview out of the proposals that we had. There was six, seven.
I think one would have to be our current law firm in the reading process.
But, yeah, I would think out of respect for them, that would make sense.
My feeling about this is that Troy is the one that works with the legal all the time. We don't. The only time we see them is if we have a kind of hearing or something every once in a while. I think he should be the one to pick the three. Who he thinks. Who do you recommend? How is that? Is that better?
These attorneys don't represent me individually. These attorneys represent the school district. Thank you for that, Mark. I am familiar with the majority of them, not all of them. But again, my familiarity is just because of my interactions with them. When it comes to the law firm as a whole, I know individuals within the firm. So. Special education lawyer did submit proposal. So there could be a potential that our special education lawyer would be a lawyer for the district. So we wouldn't have two on her.
Did everybody hear that part?
No.
No.
So sometimes for special education, I'm trying to think of the right word, advice, we do sometimes go to Mary Gerbig, because she has a lot of connections and big network and knows the people at DPI or knows the people at that. So sometimes we do consult Philo and Better versus running Lewis and Lacey. That is what I inherited, and that's kind of what we've continued with. But our normal law firm at this time is running Lewis and Lacey for the reason, to clarify, because the attorney has been Robert Burns. So it used to be Davis and Kielthau when Robert Burns was there. Now he's at Rennie Lewis and Lacey, so now our law firm is Rennie Lewis and Lacey. So we've kind of been following wherever Robert Burns has been.
Well, I think he's treated us very well for more than 15 years. I think one of my concerns is one of these law firms is out of Madison. I don't know how that's going to save us any money. I mean, there's going to be travel time. Maybe that's just doesn't make any sense.
Well, that is true, because the fees start from the time they leave.
Exactly.
They're off. Madison is what, 3.5 dollars? We could probably do it in two.
I think that's a question of what this verifies.
Yep.
Okay, so one is going to be our current.
Randy Lewis and Lacey.
Okay.
Is everybody okay with that? Okay.
And special ed one, which one is that?
Mary Gerbig is currently our expert consultant on any special education advice. She's with Velo and Better. Appleton Green Bay for Oregon. I don't know where she's actually out of.
I'm just looking at the top line.
Yeah.
the impression they were a little smaller firm, and I didn't know, and I don't know them for anything, so I could be totally wrong. Anybody that does know them, that was just the impression I got reading through their report. And maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just something that.
What company are you, were you thinking? You know, go for them? And
in reading through that, they had said something about this was supposed to be attached.
Okay.
And so I reached out to them and said there was no references.
Okay.
And that was the secretary. She apologized. She was like, it didn't attach to the email. So that, thanks for bringing it up. So this extra here was just added to your IS data today.
Right, running is the first.
Yep.
Beagle and Better with Mary Bourbon.
Okay.
And then Ben Breeden.
Ben Breeden. There's this other one, Strang, Nettleton, that's just outside of Milwaukee, and Madison. It'd be the same issue.
Well, Boardman and Clark, Brian Goodman, he's kind of the state attorney that represents, I don't know how to explain it, but he gives our monthly legal updates. He works directly, you know, down in the nitty-gritty. He also presents our stuff, but that's a really, really big law firm.
Which one is that?
That's the Boardman and Clark in Madison, which makes sense why he gives our legal updates. Because he's right there. You can share whatever you would like.
So I don't know what's in the queue tab. That's O'Brien, who's a special education lawyer, who was very well known to that all of the special education conferences. And her partner, Chad Wade, is also at the UCC. So both of those two do all of the training for us.
And who are they with?
Mary Goodman is, yes, very, very well known in special education lawyers. Both options are absolutely on that.
Did anybody see in Gmo where the number of lawyers they had that didn't come up? Which
they only have three. They're not a very big law firm.
Honestly,
yeah, here.
Adam Friesen. Anybody feel strongly about the third one?
Let me look through string quick to see if I can offer anything. String. That's Madison. Will you gain more? This whole idea was to try to get somebody else's fence. I gotta Google this thing. He may be by himself.
He presents at our legal conferences. He may be. Yeah, he's the lead attorney, and there's one underneath him, and then a paralegal.
So they're really small.
But I mean, he's good. He presents at all of our at the superintendent conferences.
Yeah, most of those districts are not that big, but they're all on the west side of the state. Whether or not that's a factor, I don't know.
Yeah, there's him, paralegal, and
right.
One other person.
Yeah, it don't matter to me. That's just whatever.
Do you have a second call for the third?
I'm going to choose not to comment because I know all of them personally.
But that might be a good thing.
No, I'm not going to comment.
I worked with Chrissy on our parent rights. I've worked with obviously Mary Gerbig on our special education. They normally have one really good person that specializes in school, personnel, student rights, parent rights, and then there's normally, you know, a supporting cast that goes around that. So, like I said, Boardman and Clark, the only reason I know them is because they're huge, and Brian Goodman does all of our updates. I mean, Beale and Better, obviously I've talked to Mary Gerbig multiple times. Von Breesen, I know a couple of neighboring districts that have them. You know, they're happy with them as well. I'm gonna just keep talking around and not give you a recommendation, just so you are aware of that.
Maybe to Mark's point, I guess I would say maybe this Polis, right? Similar districts, and I know Milwaukee is kind of the hub for a lot of educational stuff. So maybe if they're down there.
So there's Little Chute. Obviously, I know Heidi at Little Chute. I know Dan at New Holstein, New Berlin, Fortville. I know Todd Tim real well. I should know Jamie from the meeting. I don't. I'm just going through a tolls of people that I'm aware of here. Denmark.
Thank you.
out of Milwaukee. The whole reason is to save money. Why would we vote for a law firm out of Milwaukee? That makes no sense.
I can't find out what one of them offers remote services.
No, they all do.
So.
The last mediation that Mary Durbin helped us in, it was in our conference room with the TV and mediated right over.
Yeah. I think that's a good question, Mark. And Dave, how do you compete when you're hours away?
I'm not going to give you a break on my.
No, but it's still a good question.
And it's they charge from the time you leave their office.
Okay, so
we're
making
a motion. I want to make a motion. I offered before. I'm going to say Renning, Lewis, and Lacey, and Breeson, and Velo, and Ray.
I'll second that.
All right, motion by Zacho, second by Shaman. Further discussion, questions?
So currently we're with Renning in our special ed, so it's the
Velo better, very perfect.
Hearing none, I will call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Thank you. Home.
Say your night answer. Yes, they're all in the home with me.
Okay, let's do roll call. This one meeting, Clint, that we got to get your back in line.
I'm just saying, well, the only reason why I'm going more is because I'm looking at that as the same 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 as the same
Zacho.
Aye.
Burko.
Aye.
Huffman.
Aye.
Motor.
Aye.
Hunt. Shaman.
Aye.
Yeah, that's a
good one. All right.
I'll make a motion to go with Lewis and Lacey and Breeson and Post.
Motion made by Motor, second by Huffman.
Roll call.
Okay, roll call. Before we do that, any other questions, comments?
Which ones did you see now?
Lewis and Lacey.
The same ones except.
Anderson. And then Pauls.
That's all.
Got it.
Okay. I will. Roll call.
Zacho.
No.
Burko.
Aye.
Huffman.
Aye.
Motor.
Aye.
Shaman.
No.
Lunt.
Aye.
You lose your excellent.
Okay. So we have our three. Couple of things we'll move on.
So who's the third? The guy out of Milwaukee? The Tolls?
Tolls, yep.
Yeah, we're gonna save a lot of money with them. Tolls, Buddy Lewis and Lacey, and Tom Breeson. Everybody, thanks.
So, interviews. Oh, sorry.
Because everybody thinks the guy we have now charges too much.
I don't think you have really said that already.
No. So, moving on.
No, what they charge before.
How soon in Troy, do you want to reach out to them or do you want me to?
Let me talk with Dina in the morning because I think you and I are going to have to
don't know. I can talk to the district that I've been working with, like, what are the restraints on the presentation? 20 minutes, do whatever you want? Or is it...
Well, it's kind of leading into my next part of that.
Well, I was leaving this because I knew you wanted to present that.
Right. So I have three different documents here that I just found online, and actually Troy gave me one as far as like a grading system if we want to get formal, so we're using a rubric. Or when we do these interviews, we want to just listen to them and then everybody kind of gives their opinion. Just throwing out options to be organized. And if you guys want to, I can email this to the board so you can look at it. We'll probably have a little bit of time before the actual interviews, but never being through this process, I don't know how far we want to
go. I like that idea, just because I would mark it down as we go through the interviews, even no matter who we're interviewing.
I think it just keeps it more factual than anything, but again, it's just things I found. And if you guys want to do it with those, that's great. And I guess we don't have to decide on it right now. Just trying to get more of a process and procedure for it. And then Troy, if you really don't mind talking to Gina, should we shoot for 2 weeks?
Well, let's see how the school perceptions thing goes.
Yeah.
And how quickly we need to have that special meeting. And we'll go from there.
Yeah. No, I get it.
We'll
I just don't want to keep passing it up down the slide.
Yep.
Yep.
There we
go. All right. Is everybody okay with that?
You better get control of that side of the table over there.
It's not me.
I asked for a joke earlier. No. All right. Are we okay with that moving forward? We'll have Gina and Troy trying to figure out something and send something out. And hey, these are some voice times. You guys can let me or Troy know if you guys want to do a rubric like that. Wouldn't have to be those. Like I said, those are just some examples. Okay. Unless there's anything else, we'll move on to the WASB State Education Convention.
So Drew and I thought that we should put this on here. Just because there's been a lot of discussion of it in the past, we should send at least one delegate, and our delegate this year would be Chris Hoffman. One of the things that has changed this year is before you enter a hotel room, you have to prove that you've registered because of, in general, people are canceling and doing X, Y, and Z. So, you know, for sure, Chris should go. This is one of the conferences that I haven't gone to, although many say that I should go to it. I haven't gone just to save the district money because board members have gone and then reported back to me, but it's always in my budget, but I never go. So, but I don't know. In the past, two people have gone, three people have gone, but minimum, I said one.
Are you considering going this year?
I don't know that answer. I don't want to waste money. I trust the board members that go and report back to me. I don't want to just go on a district dollar and go down there for a convention. I like the legal one because I think that's really important. If we had an idea in mind, like if we were going to go to referendum to build, you know, a new school, then you go for there for a specific purpose. You know, I don't know if you have any specific purposes. Maybe AI would be a thing. If you want to make some of those things, but
yeah. Well, I've been there a couple times, and every time it's been more worth it.
Yeah.
The seminars are great, but even just the other board members who are there is the whole thing.
My feeling is we should be setting an example. We're talking about spending taxpayer money, frugal, not having enough money. The hotel costs last year alone, $567 each. We Then you had to pay for a special supper because it was a keynote speaker and the breakfast. That doesn't include the registration and mileage and the other costs. So you're talking approximately, and this is on the lesser side, about $800 a piece to send somebody there. And as long as we're sending a delegate, and it's the new guy who hasn't met the one before, my feeling is we send one representative this year. That's just my feeling. If we're talking about setting examples of spending, it's supposed to start at the top. And if somebody, I mean, it doesn't stop anybody else from going. If I decide I want to go down for a day, I'll pay for it myself. What's that? No. Nice try. But no. That's just my thing.
It makes sense that all we're talking about is trying to tax better. Absolutely.
Since we're out of that, we could turn it around.
I have to approve your mileage payment. So no, turn it in. I am. Yeah, you can take a van.
Strategically, that's what we do.
Yeah. All right. So we are all in agreement to send Hoffman down there.
Oh, he doesn't have a choice. He's like, no.
Yeah. And then anybody else who wants to go?
If you want to go and you're going to pay for it yourself, you can contact the owner, just register, but you have to pay for it. And it's costly. Maybe it's only $25. That's last year.
Okay. As long as everybody's okay with that, move on. School perceptions presentation.
This is where I have to try to get Darren up on the other screen. So, give me a seventh inning stretch, please. All right, you're on the big screen, Darren. I just need to make sure you have volume, okay? Okay, no, I think I need to adjust my settings. Give me a second. You can hear us, though, right? Can you give me a thumbs up? Okay. Need to adjust the volume to come out of the TV speaker in a second.
Test 1, 2, 3.
I don't know why my computer's in night mode. Is it okay if I turn the video off? Is that distracting for you?
Doesn't bother me at all.
Okay, it
kind of reminds me of the Blair Witch Project movie.
Yes, it did. All right, we can hear you in your live. So,
okay. Good evening, everyone. Lots of interesting topics to listen in on. I promise my PowerPoint won't be more than 90 minutes. I'm going to share my screen, and then I'll walk you through what it would look like to do a community survey with us. So my name is Darren Severs. I'm in my fourth year of being a project manager with School Perception. Prior to that, I worked for the Springer School for 27 years, the last 9 as superintendent. We were a regular customer of School Perceptions, did community survey at a pastor referendum that led